In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Are we nearly there yet? As parents, how often have we shuddered when our children ask that question, when we're on a journey somewhere? Especially if we've hardly travelled more than a few kilometres. Are we nearly there yet? It is a question that becomes more and more insistent as Christmas approaches. And yet, here is the strange thing. When it does arrive, after the presents have been opened, and we have enjoyed the special meal or whatever it is you do, then what? When the moment arrives, it is gone. This is the paradox of Advent, the season which we are now entering. The beginning of the church's year, a time when we start a new journey, which is why our first candle reminds us, amongst others, of Abraham, who started on that long, long journey. But where are we going on this journey? It is, surely, a journey to meet God. God will reveal himself most fully in his Son, coming into the world in Jesus, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas. But also, God will reveal himself at his second coming, as those wonderful, poetic words of our Advent collect tell us. We have to do with God now, in the time of our mortal life, in which his Son Jesus Christ came to us in great humility. But also on the last day, when he shall come in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead. What are we waiting for in this season of Advent? Ask the same question in German, and its double-edged meaning becomes clear. For erwarten means both to wait for and to expect. We are both waiting and expecting. We are expecting then a fresh start when God will enter his world as the babe of Bethlehem. But we are also expecting the end of all things. The four great themes of Advent are death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And there is a definite finality about all of those. We contemplate both the start of the journey and its destination at the same time. And there is something else that is strange about Advent. We are waiting for God to show himself in the birth of Jesus and at the Last Judgment. But we also hear words like those of the prophet Isaiah from our first reading. Words which tell us that no one has heard, no eye has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you. And you have hidden your face from us. And those words of Jesus to his disciples. What the time will be, no one knows, not the angels in heaven, not the Son, but only the Father. There is a hiddenness there also. The God who reveals himself as the light which comes into the world is also the God who is hidden in the darkness, whose day will come like a thief in the night. And this interplay of light and darkness is very strongly marked in our Advent readings, in our hymns, and in the liturgy. It reflects for us in Northern Europe what it's like at this time of the year, when darkness is so much a feature of our lives. And carefully done, the growth of the light on that Advent wreath, from one candle to two, then three, then four, mirrors the growth of excitement and wonder as Christmas, as the arrival of the Christ child, draws near. Advent, then, is a season of paradoxes, of contrasts, of opposites brought together. A fresh start and the end of all things. A journey and a destination. God, who both reveals himself and is hidden. Light in the darkness. Dark shadows cast as the light shines. Taken together, these Advent paradoxes and contrasts have something to teach us about God, towards whom our journey leads. They teach us that God himself is a mystery, is a paradox. He is both the beginning and the end, our starting point and our destination. A helpless baby or a man on a cross, but also one who will come as our king and our judge, robed in dreadful majesty. One whose kingdom is both now and not yet, so that our walk on earth and our journey to heaven are somehow kept in step. During Advent, these different themes and contrasts and paradoxes jostle for our attention, rather like the crowds in the city centre pushing this way and that as they do their Christmas shopping. We cannot hold them all together, because they are glimpses of the mystery of God, like faces lit up in the flickering light of a candle. We see some features one moment and others the next. Even though we have God's word in the Bible, we must not be so full of pride to think that we can fully understand it if only we study it long enough. For it contains accounts of people's encounter with that mysterious other. Even though God has fully revealed himself in the earthly life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, still he is beyond our understanding. With the poet John Betjeman, we ask, how can it be that God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine? Christ, the one who shows us God, actually opens our eyes and our minds to the truth that God is mysterious, inexplicable in any human terms. He invites us to set out on a journey towards a new beginning in Bethlehem, but also towards the end of all things. Are we nearly there yet?